Dear brothers and sisters, this morning we come to message 4 of this conference. The general subject or the central burden of this conference is a continuation of the 2023 Chinese Speaking Conference, which is on getting ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. In this conference, the messages are based on 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, which says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. And I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recommend me in that day, and not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. The five messages of this conference will cover five major aspects in these two verses. First, fighting the good fight. Second, finishing the course. Third, keeping the faith. Fourth, loving the Lord's appearing. Fifth, receiving Christ as the kingdom reward of the crown of righteousness. The fourth message will be on the fourth crucial item, loving the Lord's appearing. The title of this message says, Loving the Lord's Appearing by Maintaining Our Love for Him According to the Intrinsic Significance of Song of Songs. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, For Demas has abandoned me, having loved the present age. Loving the present age in verse 10 is contrary to loving the Lord's appearing in verse 8. Demas was Paul's co-worker and he had worked with Paul. It is quite probable that because he saw the difficulties and sufferings that Paul went through, he could not overcome. So he loved the present age. Demas, a former co-worker of Paul, could have changed. In the same way, we cannot be sure that we would not change. So we need the Lord's mercy to keep us to live in the light of His coming so that we can maintain our love for the Lord, to love His appearing. This message consists of two Roman numerals. In the first numeral, Roman numeral, there are six major points. It covers the outline of the book of Song of Songs in the Recovery Version, the six major steps. And the Roman numeral 2 is the concluding word of the word of from Song of Songs as the conclusion of this message. This message shows us a very important revelation, showing us as we are pursuing the Lord in our love for Him, living a life that loves His appearing, we would pass through these six major stages. The Lord's servant, Brother Lee, once said, when we study any book of the Bible, the outline of the book is very important. The outline of this message, Roman numeral 1, consists of six major points, and the Roman numeral 2 are actually from the outline of Song of Songs. This will give us an excellent bird's eye view of the book of Song of Songs. This will give us a marvelous bird's eye view of this book as an organic map for our loving pursuit of Christ as life and our growth in life unto the maturity in life, so that we can be the constituents of His bride, making ourselves ready for His second coming. We come to Roman numeral 1. It says, the subject of Song of Songs, a poem, is the history of love in an excellent marriage, revealing the progressive experience of an individual believer's loving fellowship with Christ for the preparation of his bride in 6 major stages. Song of Songs is a poem. Ephesians 2, verse 10 and verse 15, these two verses are parallel. In verse 15, it says, when Christ died on the cross, this death is the new man creating death. When he died on the cross and created the one new man, he was also working out his masterpiece. In verse 10, the word masterpiece in Greek denotes something that has been made, a handiwork, or something that has been written or composed as a poem. It is a work of art that expresses the maker's wisdom and design. We, the church, the masterpiece of God's work, the one new man, are a poem that expresses God's wisdom. Today, God in Christ as the Spirit is working Himself into us so that we can be constituted His bride in this divine romance, so that eventually we will consummate in God's masterpiece. Ephesians 1, Song of Songs 1 says, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. What the book of Song of Songs emphasizes is not how a man is converted from a sinner to a believer. Rather, it emphasizes our love relationship with the Lord. It is about a believer progresses from a stage of hunger and thirst to a stage of satisfaction. The verse says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him. I don't know how much time has elapsed after this person has been saved so that he can have this kind of aspiration, that kind of prayer. He was awakened by the Spirit so that he is no longer satisfied with a common relationship with the Lord. He desires a deeper and more intrinsic relationship in pursuing the Lord. So he says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Nobody can kiss two persons at the same time. Kissing is an expression of love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is our expression of love to the Lord. It is also the starting point of our advancement in our spiritual relationship with the Lord. If in us there is not such a heart to pursue the Lord, such a hunger and thirst for the Lord, the book of Song of Songs would just be a poetry. It would not be the Song of Songs of Solomon. May we, at the beginning of the new year, have such a hungry and thirsting heart for the Lord. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. verse 3 says, "For your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils have a pleasant fragrance. Your name is like ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you." A lover of Christ, one who pursues Christ, should be drawn by the love of Christ, should be captivated by His name, and to be captivated by His person, so that he will rise up to pursue Christ in order to have satisfaction. Verse 4 says, "Draw me, we will run after you." Chapter 1, verse 4. "Draw me, we will run after you." This lover of Christ, in the pursuit of Christ, has Christ's response as follows. "The king has brought me into his chambers." The king refers to Christ, and the chambers are referring to our regenerated spirit. This lover of Christ, because she seeks after Christ, Christ brought him into his chambers to have personal, affectionate, and intimate fellowship of love. We need to have this personal, private, affectionate, and spiritual fellowship with the Lord. Every morning, may we rise up in this way, like Brother Lee testifies. He came to the Lord not as a poor sinner to ask God for something, rather as a lover of Christ coming to the Lord to have personal, affectionate fellowship with the Lord. In this case, the Lord is also personal and affectionate to us. Capital A. In the first stage of Song of Songs, it says, all the spiritual principles are contained in this first stage of the seeker's overcoming life. The lessons that follow are not new, but they are old lessons repeated in a deeper way. Song of Songs, the progress of our spiritual relationship with the Lord, starts with this first stage. The first consecration, the first revelation, seem to be most smooth and stable and steady. Yet, the first revelation is not the firmest, not the most reliable, because you have to pass through tests of fire so that our experience can become a reality. So you need a second stage, a more advanced stage, a deeper stage. But as we have the second experience of the Lord, it seems the feeling is not so sweet as in the first stage. It seems that the problem is still with our love for the Lord. So we need to reconsecrate ourselves to love the Lord, because there is no other way that is not so dependable and rich and full of enjoyment as loving the Lord, dear brothers and sisters. We should not pay attention to any other thing apart from Christ. We should only love Him only, and all problems will be over. B. In the second stage of Song of Songs, the lover of Christ is called to be delivered from the self through her oneness with the cross of Christ. When the love of Christ is brought to this stage, after she has pursued the Lord and gained satisfaction because she cared too much for her spiritual condition before the Lord, she was concerned with whether she remained in the perfection that she has attained to. So she became introspective. Introspection means looking inside into ourselves. This becomes a separating wall so that the love of Christ in her pursuit of Christ loses the presence of Christ. Small one. Song of Songs 2:8-9 speaks of the vitality of resurrection. In these verses, Christ is likened to a gazelle or a young hart, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Mountains and hills refer to difficulties and barriers, but nothing is too high or too great to stop the resurrected Christ. We need to seek for and know Christ's mountain leaping and hill skipping presence. The love of Christ in introspection is downcast. This resurrected Christ strengthens the love of Christ with his resurrection power, so that she can go on with Christ. Small two, the love of Christ falls into introspection, which becomes a seclusion as a wall that keeps her away from the presence of Christ. Hence, Christ encourages her to rise up and come out of her low situation to be with him. Introspection is to look into ourselves. Ourself often deceives us in a deceptive way. Our self creeps in. It causes us to be introspective. Whenever we look at ourselves, trying to analyze ourselves, examine ourselves, we will always be low, in a low situation. But the Bible tells us to look away unto Jesus. Our self is not worthy of our attention. We should not look into ourselves. Introspection would become a greatest enemy for our progress in life. So here, the beloved not only strengthens his lover with his resurrection power, he also encourages his lover to rise up and follow her with the riches of his resurrection. Here, the verse says, rise up, my love, my beauty, and come away. Because she is introspective. She is in a low situation. So, her beloved asks her to rise up. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. So, the winter and the rain are both gone. Verse 12, verse 13, you have flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. All of these refer to the riches of the flourishing resurrection of Christ. The beloved encourages his lover with the riches of his resurrection, encouraging her to rise up and go forth with him. Verse 14 says, "My dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the covert of the precipice," the beloved calls his lover in this way. He says, "Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. If I were this lover, because of my condition, I would say, oh, my beloved." The way to the clefts of the rock, the way to the covert of the precipice is too difficult. According to my condition, how can I arrive? But the Apostle Paul says, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his death, being conformed to his death. It is by the resurrection power of Christ that we can be strengthened. It is by the riches of his flourishing resurrection that we can be encouraged to rise up, to be one with the cross of Christ, to be delivered from ourselves. So in the second stage, the love of Christ learns three lessons. First, she learns to know the resurrection power of Christ. Second, she learns and experiences the riches of the flourishing resurrection of Christ. Third, she experiences the cross of Christ. It is by the strengthening of the resurrection power. It is by the encouragement of the riches of the flourishing resurrection that she can become one with the cross, to be delivered from the self. Small three, it is by the power of resurrection, not by our natural life, that we, the lovers of Christ, are enabled to be conformed to his death by being one with his cross. In our mingled spirit, we participate in and experience the resurrection of Christ, which enables us to be one with the cross, to be delivered from the self, and to be transformed into a new man in God's new creation for the fulfillment of God's economy. It is by our experience of being one with the cross that we are transformed to be a new man in God's new creation, to produce the new man, and also for the building up of the organic body of Christ. Capital C. In the third stage of Song of Songs, the lover of Christ is called to live in ascension as the new creation in resurrection. To enter into this stage, we need to learn how to discern our spirit and our soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May the God of peace fully sanctify you. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here it says, spirit and soul and body. If we do not know how to discern our spirit from our soul, we would not be able to live in ascension to be the new creation in resurrection. Small one, to live in ascension is to live continually in our spirit. When we live in our spirit, we are joined to the ascended Christ in the heavens. This is like the power plant, the electric power is both in the power plant and also in the building where we are. It is the same electricity. For us to live in ascension, we need to continually live in our spirit. We need to live and walk in our spirit. When we live in our spirit, we live in ascension, and we are joined to the ascended Christ in the heavens. At the end of the second stage, in order to enter the third stage, the love of Christ in her oneness with the cross, herself has been broken. And by the resurrection power of Christ and by the riches of Christ's resurrection, she has been strengthened and encouraged to become a pillar of smoke that refers to a person who is spiritually stable, that matches God and is qualified to move with God. And in the three major aspects of work that Christ has accomplished, she is one with Christ. In the church age, she became a bed of Christ to be one with the Lord as the sleeping one. Second, in the kingdom age, she became a pagan queen, one with Christ as the rider. And third, in the marriage life in eternity, she is the bride, being one with Christ as the bridegroom. The transforming work of the Spirit in us calls us to be a moving vessel of Christ, the carriage of Christ, the car of Christ, for the move of Christ in and for the body of Christ. The love of Christ has become such a palanquin. In Song of Songs, chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, it says, this palanquin is of the wood of Lebanon. Wood of Lebanon signifies the humanity of Christ, the resurrected humanity of Christ, which is so uplifted. The poles are made of silver. Silver denotes Christ's redemption as its support, its seat of, its bottom of gold. Gold denotes God's nature as the base. And you have the seat of purple. And it is decorated with the love of the daughters of Jerusalem, which signify all the seekers of Christ, decorating the palanquin of Christ with their love. We need to pray to the Lord, may your love be deeply wrought into us so that it becomes our love for you, so that we can become this palanquin, to become your moving vessel. In the church age, we are your moving vessel. Then we will enter into the kingdom age. There will be the triumphal procession, triumphal celebration. We will be your moving vessel, and you will move in us, and we will be one with you. Small three, we are rebuilt with the divine Trinity so that our external structure is the resurrected and ascending humanity of Jesus, and our interior decoration is our love for the Lord. Four, through her living in Christ's ascension as the new creation in resurrection, the love of Christ becomes mature in the riches of the life of Christ, so that she can become a garden to Christ for his private enjoyment. She is prepared to give forth Christ's fragrance in any circumstance or environment. The seeking love of Christ, called to live in ascension, becoming the new creation in resurrection, has now achieved this stage to become four marvelous items. First, a garden. Second, the sanctuary. Third, the luminaries. And fourth, a terrible army. So here you have the love of Christ as the garden of Christ. It is a private garden, not an open park for everyone. It is the private garden of Christ. All the beauty, including the spring and the fountain, are shut up and sealed. The love of Christ as the garden enclosed is not for others, but for the enjoyment of the bridegroom. May we be such an enclosed garden. Chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind." This is the prayer of the love of Christ. The north wind refers to the difficult situations, and the south refers to pleasant environment. She has such a prayer so that the fragrance may be spread. She has learned a lesson that the problem is not with the outward circumstances. The problem is always inward. If inside of her she has been constituted with Christ, whatever the environment will be, whether it is difficult or pleasant, will cause the fragrance to be spread. She has learned the lesson of being enabled to all, empowered to do all things in the one who empowers him. D, capital D, in the fourth stage of Song of Songs, the love of Christ is called more strongly to live within the veil through the cross after resurrection. No matter how much spiritual achievement we have attained, we are still in the old creation. We still have our flesh. So we need a stronger call, the cross after resurrection, to cause us to live within the veil. Small one, by living within the veil, the love of Christ is transformed into the heavenly bodies. Not only is she spiritual, she is heavenly, as signified by the sun and the moon, these heavenly bodies. She looks forth like the dawn. She is as beautiful as the moon, and she is as clear as the sun. Not only is she spiritual, she is heavenly. She becomes the heavenly bodies. Formerly, she talks two times about the shadows, the dark shadows. Now all the darkness is over. The morning has come. There is this hope for the dawn. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Small two, in the maturity of Christ's life, the love of Christ becomes the Shulamite, the feminine form of Solomon, signifying that she has become the same as he is in life, nature, expression, and function, but not in the Godhead, as the reproduction and duplication of Christ to match him for their marriage. We know that the entire Bible, the complete revelation, is a revelation concerning this God of love in the universe and his eternal economy. And the history of God's economy is a history of the dispensing of the divine life. It is also the history of the corporate people of God being filled up. From the book of Song of Songs, we are shown that it is a history of love. It is a love relationship in an excellent marriage. Dear brothers and sisters, in the light of the Lord's coming, as we are preparing for his coming, we need to see that we are his lover. We love him. We pursue him and we await his coming. Even more, we hasten his coming. In this message, the Lord leads us to the book of Song of Songs. Our dear brother just brought us through these stages. The subject is the history of love in an excellent marriage, revealing the progressive experience of an individual believer's loving fellowship with Christ. This loving fellowship begins on the day of our regeneration. And throughout our life, it will continue to make progress. And this progress consists of 6 stages. Yet don't forget, in the beginning word, our brother shows us that even though there are 6 stages, in every stage, all the spiritual principles are contained in the first stage. In the first stage, it is a matter of our being drawn by the Lord every day to pursue him for satisfaction. This first stage is our beloved desiring to build up a personal, affectionate, private, and spiritual fellowship with us. This will never change. In this principle, we need to experience him deeper and deeper. Our brother has led us through the first 4 stages. Now we come to capital E. In the 5th stage of Song of Songs, the love of Christ shares in the work of the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 11. The lover says to her beloved, "Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the fields. Let us lodge in the villages." Verse 12 even says, "Let us rise up early for the vineyards." Dear brothers and sisters, in the 4th stage of Song of Songs, this lover of Christ has become mature in the love of Christ, in the life of Christ. She has become Shulamite as the duplication of Christ. This is God's economy. God becoming man, that man may become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. Here, it seems that the book of Song of Songs should have ended, but the Holy Spirit continues to write because the lover finds that her beloved Solomon is a master of many vineyards. On this earth, these many vineyards needs a lot of labor. Therefore, the lover positively takes the initiative even to call her beloved in order to share in his work. Brothers and sisters, this is so glorious. We, such poor sinners, yet we can share in the work of our glorious Lord. We are not worthy. Whenever I consider this, I feel we are so blessed. Oh, so great a mercy. Even to eternity, we can serve Him and work together with Him. Small one, Song of Songs 7:11 shows that Christ's lover wants to carry out with her beloved the work that is for the entire world. Feels by sojourning from one place to another, lodging in the villages. This indicates that she is not sectarian in carrying out the Lord's work, but keeps the work open so that others can come to sojourn there and she can go to sojourn elsewhere. This is to keep one work in one body. How sweet this is. Here, the love of Christ asks the beloved to go with her to the fields. And also to travel with her beloved from one place to another, lodging in the villages, to take care of the beloved's work all over the world. How beautiful this is. Dear brothers and sisters, the more we serve the Lord, the more we serve in one realm, we need to be enlightened by the beloved, to see that we do not have our own work, we do not have our small own territory, our own territory. No, our work is only the Lord's work. It is in His unique building work of His body. No matter where we are, we have our work open so that others can come, and we can also go elsewhere. Through such a blending, we keep the one work in the one body of Christ. Small 2 says, to share in the work of the Lord is to work together with Him. To work with Him, we need the maturity in life. We need to be one with the Lord, and our work must be for His body. Wherever we go, our work is for the one body of Christ. Wherever we go, we want all the churches, all the saints to bud. Verse verse 12. Let us rise up early for the vineyard. Let us see if the vine has budded. If the blossom is open, if the pomegranates are in bloom, there I will give you my love. Here we see the lover and the beloved rise up early. That indicates diligent work. To go everywhere to see if the vine has budded, if the blossom is open, if the pomegranates are in bloom. If the vine has budded and the blossom is open in a certain place, we rejoice with our beloved. If the pomegranates are in bloom in a certain place, we rejoice with our bridegroom. These days I pray, Lord, in such a 30,000 people gathering and blending, open my eyes so that I see in all countries, in all local churches, the vine has budded, pomegranates are in bloom. Or the blending meetings, Love Beast Fellowship, and our conference meetings, not just the messages, but also the reports. Also, all of these show us that the vine has budded, the blossom is open, the pomegranates are in bloom. And here we will give him our love. Small three, the Shulamite works as Solomon's counterpart, taking care of all the vineyards, brothers and sisters, not just to take care of one locality where you are, but to take care of all the vineyards. That is, the churches and the believers on the whole earth. We must have a work that is for the entire world. This is what Paul did by establishing local churches and then working to bring them into the full realization of the body of Christ. Romans chapter 16, I really love that chapter. From chapters 1 through 15, Paul shows us the full gospel of God, the high peak of the divine revelation. In chapter 16, the entire chapter is through recommendations and greetings to usher all the churches and all the saints into the life of blending, the blending life of the body of Christ. This is what Paul did. Brothers and sisters, this is also what we should do. I really hope that we can see through the recommendation and greeting among all the saints and all the churches all over the earth can be blended together to become the reality of the one body of Christ. This is the fifth stage of Song of Songs, sharing in the Lord's work. Aren't you joyful for this? Are we all willing to take the initiative to rise up, to share in the work of the Lord, to build up His body all over the earth? May the Lord gain us for His need to open up to the whole earth. For His need, we will preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole inhabited earth to build up His unique body. Now we come to the sixth stage. F. In the sixth stage of Song of Songs, the love of Christ is hoping to be raptured. This is verse 5. Who is this one who comes up from the wilderness, from the earthly realm, leaning on her beloved? At this stage, the lover is mature. Not only is the lover one with the beloved in life, she is also one in service, one in the work, one in the building. The last thing that she wants is hoping to be raptured. Coming up from the wilderness, that refers to the rapture. In the Spirit's speaking, concerning coming up from the wilderness, you have it two times. First time in chapter 3. Here is the second time. In chapter 3, it is about the lover progressing in life and gradually is delivered from the spiritual wilderness, from wandering in the soul. She has learned the discernment between the division between the spirit and the soul. But here in chapter 8, she is coming out from the wilderness of the flesh, from the earthly realm. The spirit seems to be looking at this one and said, who is this one who comes up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Here we see a gradual coming up that shows us that the rapture is a process. It's the result of our walking with the Lord step by step, as we are drawn by heaven, so that step by step, we become more and more one with Him. Step by step, we are delivered from the world. We are farther and farther away from the world. We are more and more separated from the world. To such an extent, when we wake up, oh, we are before the Lord. This coming up is going on and on until our beloved comes to rapture us. We really aspire that our future is rapture. If not raptured, should be martyrdom. No matter what, I believe that all of us lovers of Christ hope to be raptured. We will walk out of this world with Him to welcome Him as our bridegroom. Small one. Leaning on her beloved implies that, like Jacob, the socket of her hip has been touched and her natural thing has been dealt with by the Lord. Small two. Leaning on her beloved also implies that she finds herself pressed beyond measure, and this seems to last until the wilderness journey is over. Let me read to you Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 5, the notes there. Concerning leaning on her beloved, the Spirit asks who this lover of Christ is. How can there be one who comes up from the wilderness by leaning on her beloved. Then the beloved answers, I awaken you under the apple tree. There your mother was in labor with you. There she was in labor and brought you forth. That means Christ answers that my bride is nothing special but a sinner who has repented and has been saved by grace, her mother, through regeneration, birth in him as the provider of life, apple tree. So it is through regeneration and by grace that we have been saved. I am only a sinner saved by grace. I don't have any strength. I am not strong at all. My entire life is a story of his grace. Leaning on her beloved means that the lover seems to have no strength at all. She just makes herself a burden upon her beloved. I don't have strength at all until the journey through the wilderness is over. Dear brothers and sisters, no matter how we have progressed in life, we should have a deepest feeling and realization that I am nothing other than a sinner saved by grace. If I have any strength, it is not me. If I have any power, it is not me. It is altogether him. Dear brothers and sisters, the more advanced a person is, the more he lives a dependent life. It is not that we become strong and independent. Rather, the more we grow, the more we live a life of dependence. The life of dependence is indispensable. We have no other thing to depend on but to depend on him until we are raptured. So when she has such a feeling, we come to small three. She asks her beloved to set her as a seal on his heart of love and as a seal on his arm of strength. At this point, she is conscious of her powerlessness and helplessness, and she realizes that everything depends on God's love and preserving power. Verses 6 and 7 says, this is the prayer of the lover. She says, Lord, I pray that you set me as a seal on your heart, as a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as cruel as Sheol. Its flashes are the flashes of fire, a flame of Jehovah. Haven't you found that the love of the Lord is as strong as death? And the jealousy of love is as cruel as Sheol. If he loves you, he will strip away your love for anything else that is not he ill-treating you. This is his love for you. This love, many waters cannot quench, nor do floods drown it. If a man gave all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. Thank the Lord. It's not my love for him. It is altogether his love for me. He loves me to such an extent that he sets me on his heart as a seal. He sets me on his arm as a seal. Eventually, we come to small four. This is 8:13. After the prayer for rapture, you have this final verse. The love of Christ asks him who dwells in the believers as his gardens. Here you have gardens in plural. To let her hear his voice. For many years, whenever I read this verse, I'm so touched. And I pray to the Lord, Lord, before you return, what characteristics should we bear? Our characteristics is only one, that we are so desiring for listening to his voice. Brothers and sisters, I found that many brothers and sisters who love the Lord, they are so hungry and thirsty for the Lord speaking. So I pray to the Lord that I would be like them. Oh, you who dwell in the gardens, my companions, listen for your voice. Here, it is something in progress. My companions are listening for your voice. Lord, let me also hear it. When we were first saved, our prayer contains a lot of our own words. But as we mature, our words, our own words become fewer and fewer. We love to listen to his speaking. Brothers and sisters, this time as we gather here, we are not just looking at a hot atmosphere. But my prayer is that, Lord, I would listen to your speaking. I would hear your speaking. Yesterday, the three messages, have you heard his voice? Have you opened the shutter of your camera again and again? Have you seen the heavenly television? Oh, behold, my beloved, and to listen for his voice, listen to his speaking. Our love depends on the teaching. Our life, our work depends on his speaking. Throughout our life, it all hinges on his speaking. Any day without his speaking would be vain, would be in vain. Thank the Lord, we have passed through these six stages. Now we come to Roman numeral 2. As the concluding work of this poetic book, the lover of Christ prays that her beloved would make haste to come back in the power of his resurrection, as typified by the gazelle and the young hart, to set up his sweet and beautiful kingdom, mountain of spices, which will fill the whole earth. In Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 14, which is the concluding word of this poem, the love of Christ has this prayer, make haste, my beloved. And be like a gazelle or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Now everything of the lover, what remains on this earth is only one body. All the other things have already been transferred to another realm, all together in altogether transferred into Christ, our beloved. So, her final prayer is, capital A, such a prayer portrays the union and communion between Christ as the bridegroom and his lovers as the bride in their bridal love. In the way that the prayer of John, a lover of Christ, as the concluding word of the Holy Scriptures, reveals God's eternal economy concerning Christ and the Church in His divine love. Not only do we have the prayer of Shulamite in Song of Songs chapter 8, the Apostle John also had the same prayer at the very end of the entire Bible, Revelation chapter 22 verse 20. He who testifies these things says, "Yes, I come quickly." This is the voice of our bridegroom. He says, "I come quickly." Then John says, "Amen." Dear brothers and sisters, let us all say together, "Amen." Come, Lord Jesus. How about if we declare together, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Again, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Again, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Capital B. This is Brother Watchman Nee in his book, The Song of Songs. It is his exclamation at the end of the book. He says, when he comes, it's true, faith will be turned to facts. Everything that we have believed in, everything that we substantiate with our spirit, when he comes, will be turned to facts. Turn to what we can see, and praise will replace prayer. For so many years we have prayed, but when he comes, we will praise. Here, our love will consummate in a shadowless perfection. Brothers and sisters, how about this? This is so precious. And we will serve him in the sinner's domain. No more sin, no more world, no more flesh, no more self. Here we are in Christ. We are fully one with him. Oh, we are all in the kingdom. We are the new Jerusalem. We are all one with him. What a day that will be. Lord Jesus, come quickly. This is the final prayer of the Bible. This prayer is our longing. It should be our repeated utterance before the Lord comes. May the Lord bless every one of us. We are here entering into the year 2024. Let us run to prepare the bride to bring our bridegroom back.